The sudden collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge in the early hours of Tuesday this week after it was hit by a fully loaded cargo ship was a shocking and tragic event. Our thoughts and prayers certainly are with the families of those who were killed, a group of construction workers on the bridge that were killed in that accident. But as we move from the immediacy of that tragedy and we move on towards the recovery and the rebuilding phase of what is going to have to happen there in that stretch of the harbor in Baltimore, I think that will put some focus, some attention on one weird protectionist law that's going to make that whole process costlier and probably much more time-consuming. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. The bridge, of course, the Francis Scott Key Bridge there, is a key link in the beltway that goes around the city of Baltimore, and it crosses over the only access point between the harbor and the Chesapeake Bay, which, of course, connects out to the ocean and to all the global supply lines that flow through it. So the collapse of the bridge certainly going to cause some traffic issues around Baltimore, but the bigger problem is probably the way in which the downed bridge will affect maritime activity in the port of Baltimore. And this is one of the biggest ports on the East Coast. It is actually the largest port for bringing cars and trucks into the country, but then, of course, lots of other goods flow through there as well. It remains unclear for now exactly how long the port will be closed, but Federal Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said Wednesday that there is likely to be a long and difficult path ahead. In the meantime, trade flowing through the port will have to be redirected to other ports along the East Coast. That's a disruption, a marginal one, but perhaps a significant one that could mean higher costs and other complications. This is, of course, a particularly acute issue for the roughly 15,000 workers who earn a living off the commerce that passes through Baltimore's port, either workers who work directly at the port or those who work in jobs that support the activities at the port. All of those people facing a lot of economic uncertainty at the moment. So clearly, you know, for big picture economic reasons and also for those very specific reasons dealing with the workers at the port, clearly there's every reason to make sure that the Port of Baltimore can be reopened as quickly as possible. And Buttigieg acknowledged as much on Wednesday during that same press conference. He said that the White House had given him a clear directive to tear down any barriers, bureaucratic as well as financial, to getting the port reopened. But Buttigieg stopped short of naming any specific federal regulations that might be waived to speed along these recovery efforts. So here's an idea for him. Here's one that should go right at the top of Pete Buttigieg's list. The Foreign Dredge Act of 1906. Yes, it's a law you've probably never heard about before. The Foreign Dredge Act is basically an older cousin of the slightly more well-known and more infamous Jones Act. Now, the Jones Act, which, again, many people probably aren't all that familiar with, bans foreign-built ships from moving goods between American ports. And at Reason.com, for years, we have followed kind of the just economic stupidity that comes from the Jones Act. It drives up shipping costs between the mainland United States and places like Puerto Rico and Hawaii because it limits which ships can actually carry cargo to those places. It adds traffic to American highways because it means that you can't ship goods on a boat. You can't ship goods on a foreign-built boat from, say, Boston to Florida. You have to put that stuff on a truck or pay higher ocean shipping costs. And it leaves sizable portions of the country without access to natural gas. I wrote a story a couple of years ago for a reason about how there's huge parts of Alaska where there's no access to natural gas for heating. Even though Alaska produces a significant chunk of the country's natural gas, it's much easier actually to send it overseas than it is to use it here, which just makes no sense at all. Now, like the Jones Act, the Foreign Dredge Act is a purely protectionist law that forbids foreign-built dredges. Dredges are vessels used to move debris out of waterways or to deepen and widen shipping channels. It prohibits those vessels from operating in the U.S., again, if they weren't built in the U.S., so any foreign dredge that's caught doing work in American waters is subject to immediate forfeiture by the federal government. The law, when it was passed more than 100 years ago, was meant to protect American dredge building companies from foreign competition. But more than a century later, the primary outcome of the Foreign Dredge Act has been to severely curtail the number of dredges available to do important work, like removing the wreckage of the Key Bridge. And many of the ones that are in use in the United States are substandard compared to the rest of the world. The Army Corps of Engineers is still using dredges built in the 1930s. And a recent study from Tulane University found that the combined capacity of the U.S. dredge fleet is less than the largest European Union dredging vessel. All the American dredges combined can move less stuff than just one vessel that exists in the EU. So why don't we have access to better dredges? It's because the American dredge building companies have been shielded from competition for over a century. They haven't had to keep up with developments made elsewhere in the world. So clearing away the debris and reopening the Port of Baltimore is likely to depend on outdated equipment and will therefore take a lot longer than it otherwise might. Now, waiving the Foreign Dredge Act might help in some small way in the short term. Perhaps it means a better dredge could be brought down from Canada or from somewhere else in the world. But the collapse of the Key Bridge is a great reminder that we shouldn't wait until there's a crisis to start undoing bad laws. It would have been better to repeal the Foreign Dredge Act 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 50 years ago, so that America would already have access to the best dredging technology in the world. So what happens next will be pretty telling. Will the Biden administration follow through on its promise to sweep aside policies that will slow the recovery in Baltimore? Or will it choose counterproductive protectionism over the interests of the East Coast's economy and 15,000 blue-collar workers? For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Bam. You can check out more of our coverage of this law and other stupid protectionist economic policies at Reason.com. We are always writing about that stuff up there, so check it out. And you can catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.